Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3, and now it's time for our In the Spotlight segment. And today it's In the Spotlight with Bloomberg. And you know, we're going to catch up on some major market movements. Gold has hit an all-time high and garnered a lot of attention in recent weeks. There's also another area that's seemingly had lost some shine but is now back in the limelight, and that's Bitcoin. And to share with us more on these two areas, we're joined on the line by Joanna Ossinger, and she's the Global Markets Editor at Bloomberg. Joanna, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So Joanna, when I first sent these questions across to you, Bitcoin had risen above 10,000 for the first time since June 10th, but we did see more movement for Bitcoin over the weekend, didn't we? What's happening?
Yes, actually, it went briefly above 12,000 and then about 30 minutes later sunk by $1,500, and it's now trading a little over 11,000. This is one of those things. Bitcoin, when it starts to have a big move, it can get really volatile. And that is a reminder that people might like to get into it, but it is definitely an asset class that has a lot of swings. So it's, you know, not something to put your super safe money in, but it is something that a lot of people think in the long term is a good investment. But once it's gotten the momentum, it does seem like it's on a path upward. A lot of people see that 10,000 to 10,500 range as support, and it has stayed above that so far, even with that drop, the big spike and the drop over the weekend. So, but we are seeing a lot of renewed interest in it again now.
What's causing these swings, Joanna?
Well, it's been pretty interesting. Bitcoin was pretty low in mid-March at the height of the turbulence, and people thought that might be investors taking money out of it and using it for things where they really needed to use it. But now people are looking at the central banks just putting so much money into the world economic system and saying, well, maybe I want to go into this alternative asset. There's also a lot more institutional interest that's been building in recent months, especially as we get futures trading on uncredible exchanges, and there's just generally a lot more interest. It's getting interest among millennials and Gen Z people, so it's also a generational thing. So there are a lot of people who don't necessarily want all their money in that, but are saying, maybe we've got to get into this asset class. It's getting a lot of interest that way. And so there is kind of a secular change that's happening that is supporting cryptocurrency.
And you know, Bitcoin has been dubbed by some as digital gold. But just curious, Joanna, how closely correlated is it in price to physical gold? Because we've also seen gold price, I mean, it's now hovering around the $2,000 mark.
Yes, and actually, the gold-Bitcoin correlation is about as high as it's ever been. People do like to refer to it as digital gold, just especially people who really like Bitcoin as sort of a way to frame it for people who might be newer. And it hasn't always lived up to that because it implies that it's sort of a safety asset, and Bitcoin has been quite volatile, but it is starting to correlate really well with gold, especially as they both go up recently.
Now, Bitcoin is the largest of the cryptocurrencies. How have the others fared?
They've actually done very well also. So the Bloomberg Galaxy Crypto Index, which has a number of the biggest cryptocurrencies, has more than doubled year to date. And you have some of the other crypto, like Ether and XRP and Bitcoin Cash. They've done really well also. So the other cryptocurrencies are definitely coming along. And there's, as people get more familiar with the asset class, they are getting into the others as well.
So just kind of swinging back to gold, you know, as we mentioned earlier, gold has been hitting new highs and it's still teasing that 2000 per troy ounce mark. Now, following the Fed's announcement and then also macro global economic issues that we're seeing going on at the moment, do you think we're likely to see gold breach the 2000 mark in the coming week?
There are a number of calls for that. And actually, we're seeing some calls for even 3,000.
Wow.
Because the concerns about the pandemic, RBC actually just said that they said gold is like a freight train right now. So we'll see. And JP Morgan, for instance, thinks that it could be topping out. There are some technical signs that it's gotten, the rally in gold has gotten pretty heated. But once you start getting an asset that really people just want to get into, you can see some pretty big gains as well. But there are so many factors going into it. You, again, as you said, have the Fed's accommodative policy. You mm-hmm. have negative real rates. You have the weaker U.S. dollar. And just general concerns about the global economy amid the resurgence in coronavirus cases. So there is a big demand right now for haven assets amid all, you know, the geopolitical tensions and COVID and everything. There is some resurgence in that. Plus, you have more vehicles now than you used to. You mm-hmm. have ETFs, for instance, so people can buy into gold basically like a stock instead of having to really worry about dealing with, say, the futures market or something. So it's easier to do now than it has been before, and there are a lot of reasons. Actually, people thought that gold would do better than it did during the height of the issues in mid-March when the markets were really melting down. A lot of people were saying, why isn't gold doing better?
Mm-hmm.
But now it's kind of come back, and it's really making its move now as we get a little bit further on in the COVID crisis.
Now, Joanna, moving on to lows. I mean, we've spoken about highs, high for Bitcoin, high for gold. But then the dollar, you know, the dollar fell to its lowest since January recently. What impact has this had on flows into U.S. equities?
Well, it makes U.S. equities look cheaper, right? Because people mm-hmm. can buy more of them with their other currencies. So actually, it might be a bit of a tailwind. It might help U.S. equities to an extent if with the dollar continuing to fall. And it might be a bit of a headwind in the other direction for currencies that start to look more expensive. For instance, European stocks have been outperforming to an extent recently, and it might be a bit of a headwind now that the euro has gotten more expensive versus the dollar for those European stocks.
So what kind of stocks are you expecting to outperform, and can they continue to do well?
Well, the big story has really been the growth type stocks and technology, things that do well in the pandemic trade, right? So you've had all of the Googles or the Alphabet and Amazons of the world that have just done so well. And a lot of people are saying that that at some point, especially as you start to see the COVID case count turn the corner, that the value stocks that are really hinged on the economic cycle will start to do well. But there have been a lot of false dawns with that. And it's one of those things people keep saying, oh, value stocks will really start to do well this time. And then there will be a couple of days of it, but then it goes back to the growth stocks. But these value stocks, and that tends to be financial companies, it tends to be things that really do well as the economy starts to go higher. They could start to do well as whenever we start to get a real improvement in the global economy.
So what's ahead then, Joanna, looking into your crystal ball, what's ahead for the markets in the next couple of months? Are there any trouble spots that you're keeping an eye on?
Definitely. So August is a bit of a tricky month because it's that kind of end of the North American summer. And so there are a lot of people who go on vacation, and it's traditionally been sort of a quiet month. But then that also can lead to trouble toward the end. And it's a month when volatility really starts to rise and things start to get going very quickly again. So there's just that seasonal thing overall, where traditionally August is a month where you go from quiet to more volatile. Mm-hmm. But you also have things like the U.S. stimulus package process. Will the U.S. be able to get something together on that front? You have so many of these little resurgences of COVID around the world. Will that be a big problem, or will, say, shutdowns in Victoria be able to stymie that again? You know, will we be able to beat COVID back? Well, you also have the U.S. election coming up. And then you have the fact that we have had a really good run for risk assets generally. And the economic upturn has been able to work for the past couple months, but positive surprises are likely to moderate. So it's a little bit tricky as to in the next couple of months, you have all these things coming together of the seasonal volatility increase, as well as extra things that are volatile. And so it could be a kind of bumpy next couple of months.
Moving from next couple of months to the week ahead, what are you working on or what are you looking out for in the week ahead?
Well, looking for more on crypto just because it has really come up so quickly as an issue. But also I'm looking at the U.S. jobs data on Friday. We really want to see how things are going. Are employers letting off workers again? How's that going? And really just watching jobs data around the world for that sort of thing, because it is such a big issue in terms of how consumers feel and how economies are doing. Also, obviously, watching the COVID case count and where there are resurgences, can we really get a handle on this most places? And of course, there's always the X factor with geopolitics.
Yep.
What's China going to be doing? What's Donald Trump going to say next? There's often something coming up where you least expect it on that front. But I think those are the main things I'm looking at right now.
Well, Joanna, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been absolutely wonderful catching up with you. And for all your insights on Bitcoin and gold, we look forward to having you back on the show again in the future.
Thanks, Rachel. Appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Joanna Ossinger, Global Markets Editor at Bloomberg.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.